Welcome to the program. We call this program Slovakia, the Gospel, and False Ecumenism. It's a great joy to have two brothers in the Lord here from Slovakia. And I remember Prešov, where I had been in Eastern Slovakia in the year 2000. It was a great eye-opener to me. It was like going back in old-time Europe because Roman Catholicism was very evident even on the streets. And as I walked around that city, it was frightening to me to see how predominant ritualism and the grandiose form of Catholicism was. And even in the dress of the priests and nuns on the street, it was a shock to me that such form of Catholicism still existed. But it was a joy to me to be true believers there, and one of them was Jan Sikola, who is here with us today, and nice to have you here, Jan. And it was a great joy to meet Jan in the year 2000, and we've been in correspondence ever since. And also to meet afterwards by telephone and by email and over the internet, my brother in the Lord, Ivan Havanda, who is also from Slovakia. Good to have you here, Ivan. So we are going to speak about Slovakia, and I'd like to begin by asking you, Ivan, if you could give a summary of just how biblical faith had come into Slovakia, and a little bit of the history of Slovakia, because people think it is a nation that was just always Roman Catholic, and that is not so. So can you give us an overview of the history of Slovakia?
Sure. First mention of Christianity came into the Slovakia in the 9th century by the two missionaries called Constantine and Method. Those two persons are very significant to Slovakian history because those two of them based foundation of the Slovak language itself, and later on they developed the old Slavic part of the culture within the country that will follow kind of the Christianity presented by them. But later on, as the situation developed, Catholic beliefs spread across the country, and Slovakia was no exception to that, until the time when Jan Hus was preaching in the 15th century in the Czech Republic, old part of the Bohemia. And what was very interesting, that through this time, when after the war that sent out these Protestant believers out of Czech Republic, some of them find the refuge in the Slovakian mountains. In addition to that, after Martin Luther found his beliefs in God and Bible alone, because some eastern parts of Slovakia were in that time very famous with the mining industry, German miners that came into that part of the Slovakia brought with themselves not only the mining technologies, but brought with them the pure God word and pure beliefs in the gospel of the Jesus Christ. It was the very similar situation when the Valdos, businessmen from the Valdos, were traveling around the various parts of the countries, and they brought with them the Bibles, and so it was very similar in that time period. What happened later on is that, of course, the Roman Catholic Church didn't like this situation, so they tried to use the power connected with those days emperors to persecute those Christians, but some part of the nobility, similarly as in the Poland, was defending them. So it was not very easy to them to just burn them in the 1 week or in the 1 month. So they tried to find other possibilities. For example, from this time of the period, there are a lot of Lutheran churches, wooden churches in the Slovakia, across the Slovakia, and they are famous because not even one piece of the nail has been used for the construction of them, because the Roman Catholic Church in that time said, okay, we'd like to have your own worship, just do that, but you will not use any resources provided by us. So people were just ordinary wooden building for the fellowship of those. In the southern part of the Slovakia, which is close to border with the Hungary, was very influenced by the Helvetic beliefs, which came into from the Switzerland Calvin period. So I can say that it is sure that Slovakia in the past 400 years got witnessed of the pure biblical word of God and pure biblical gospel itself, which is evident, and we can see it in the history.
That is a joy to my ears to hear that, Ivan, because I have studied many books about the Vaudois, and I'm very conscious that they, as businessmen, you know, traversed different parts of Europe at the time and brought the gospel with them, besides their skills, and they were great at agriculture, and they were tremendous workers, and they really loved the Lord, and where they went, they brought the gospel with them. And to know, I didn't know that the German miners had come into Slovakia and brought the gospel with them, and that there was a tremendous living of the gospel besides knowing the true gospel message, and that the truth is based on the scripture alone, and that salvation is of God in Jesus Christ and not in a system and not in church sacrament. So that's a great joy. It's a great overview, and we thank God for the biblical stand that there was there in Slovakia in those years. Now, to come to you, Jean, can you give us something of your own growing up in Slovakia? I know it wasn't from a Roman Catholic background, but there was some parts of Romanism, I think, involved. Can you give some knowledge of how you came to the Lord in Slovakia?
Yeah, thank you, Richard. I will be very happy to share my story about how I was able to find the Lord. Now, my story is very typical up to a point of so many Slovak people and neighbors around me. I was born in 1975 into a family of so-called mixed marriage. That means I had a Catholic father and a Lutheran mother. This is very typical and very common in Slovakia. Immediately from the time of what I remember, my first memories of many years of childhood, I remember that there was often a clash between my father and my mother as they were worshipping in different communities, in different churches. Now later my mother explained to me and was able to tell me that there was a moment soon after I was born when the decision was to be made about whether I will be raised as a Catholic or whether I would be raised as a Lutheran. My mom was very insisting on the Lutheran upbringing, both for me and later for my brother, who is two years younger from me. So today, as I am looking back, I would see it as a providential from the Lord. I was, in this sense, spared from the maze of Romanism, not being brought under the full Roman Catholic upbringing. Nevertheless, there were times when my father took us to the masses and to the church, so I was aware of the rituals, I was aware of, as I was growing more and more, of what was going on there. And later, when I was 10, 11, 12, 13, I really primarily was aware that there are so many differences between Lutheran Church and Roman Catholic Church. Now, for the coming years, I was a man who can be described as a churchgoer, someone who, I was aware that God exists, I was aware that there are many good beliefs in Reformation and in what is taught in the Lutheran Church. I was having some kind of knowledge. Still, I was a stranger to grace, and I was only having an outward form of worship, despite having a contact with so many true biblical truths from the Bible. It was only later, when I was 18 and I was a first grader on the university, that I was exposed in those 2 or 3 years up to the 18 to a group of Lutheran young people who experienced conversion. They were changed completely. They were having a living faith from the heart, and they were loving the Lord. They knew the love of the Lord. They knew the power of the new life. And they were really a challenge to me, as I could see that they have something that I do not have. They were able to pray in their own words, which was really so challenging to me. I only knew the prayers like Our Father in Heaven and Confession of Faith and a couple of those basic prayers, and I knew I had my prayer book. And they were sharing testimonies and often talking even to me that their message was very simple and straightforward. You need to repent, you need to be converted. You can't rely on your Lutheranism, you can't rely on your good works. But still I was so self-righteous and so satisfied in my own life. It was later when I was a first grader at the university that I had a dating relationship with a certain girl, a schoolmate, and it later collapsed after a time. And it caused a lot of pain and emotional distress for me, and unhappiness and emptiness. And this really started a half a year of seeking after true God, seeking after the truth. And that half a year was really important, because I was finally, in a step-by-step fashion, brought to a point that, where I could see that actually my pain, my emptiness, my inability to have a meaning in life is because I am a sinner. And as a sinner, I am away from God, away from His love, from His blessings, from His grace. I am under His judgment and wrath, and I really need a Savior. Back in that time, I started to finally read the Bible. I was having some good Christian books that were explaining the Gospel. And finally, I was really paying attention to what the Christians, real Christians, back in that time, were telling me, and I was just often crying to God and asking for Him to bring me to the new life and to show me the way. There was one large sin that was the final one in stopping me from coming to the Lord. I was involved with illegal software distribution, and I was in charge of a group of people that were involved with this unlawful practice. And it was quite a struggle for me to get to a point to really submit to the Lord, because I was so attached to this activity, and it was really something that I had a hard time to let go. But finally the grace prevailed. I could really submit to the Lord and really see that He is everything I need, and He really loved me. He died for me, and He has prepared a future for me. And I repented of my sins. It was in May 1994, and I was given that new life and new heart. And since ever then, I just want to walk with Him and love Him and serve Him. So that's my story.
Well, that is so edifying, and I've known you a long time now, Jean, and I had not known this testimony, and it's really wonderful to see how you look to God, because it's by His gift of faith to us that we believe. Faith itself is a gift, and it was by grace that you came to the Lord, and you had to repent of your sin, particularly that last sin that you mentioned, and that is the essence of faith. And for any precious viewer who has not come to terms with the Lord, listen to Jean's testimony, and it's the same for you. You look to the Lord, and He gives you the gift of faith to trust in Christ Jesus alone. And as you trust in Christ Jesus alone, you know it by His grace, His free gift in Christ Jesus, that you are accepted in the Beloved, in Christ, and everlasting life begins here on earth, and what a joy it is. My own background was as a Catholic priest for 22 years, 48 years, a Catholic altogether, until I repented and came to the Lord in 1985. Now I'd like to come to you, Ivan, and if you could give us something of your coming to the Lord. Was it from a Catholic background? How was it with you, Ivan?
Yeah, my background is quite different than of my brother. My early memories started in the 1976 when I was 6 years old and I was ready to go to primary school, and my beloved mother took me to the catechism classes within those school, and I just went to two of them because finally priest told my mother that he don't want to deal with me because I got the silly questions. You know, in that age I was wondering that why, how the Eve was created out of the rib of the Adam, and instead of the answers, I was always pointed to that you need to leave the room, and this was everything, but I got it in time. So those are my early memories on that. And there is a tradition in the Slovak Catholic Church, maybe you are aware about that in the island as well, when you point to such a period of life, like the 10 years age, you will receive the presents, like the watches from the God's parent when you enter in the confirmation, Catholic confirmation.
Yes, we had the same tradition in Ireland. Yes. So we got money as well.
So I got watches. So those are my early memories, which didn't attract me to the Lord at all. This is the point I like to make, that I was pushing to do all these activities, but they didn't attract me to the Lord itself, to the true. And as a result, not of that, but of my sinful nature, I was led by those traditions to grow up in the sins, and to practice my self-centric, horrible personality, up to the level when I was 25 years old. I became the alcohol addict person. It is not necessary to describe all pains and horrifying events which are connected to this. What I like to say is that on the age of 25, I was sent to the clinic to fight with this alcohol addiction, but the devil inside me was telling me that if you like to drink once again, you need to become the best patient in this clinic. So I was pretending for 1 year that I'm cured, I'm progressing, and all these medical persons were quite happy. But I knew inside that if those people cannot recognize my actual conditions, then nobody can help me. Because after when I left this clinic, I went to the first bar and I celebrated this thing and I became the drunk. But God had a different plan for me, and sometimes God's ways are very different, because I was not seeking Him, but He was waiting on me on one place. And this particular place was in the house of my parents. When I came drunk one evening, and my beloved mother, and this is just I'm sharing this just for God's glory, I'm still ashamed of that, but when I was drunk and she was helping me to dress out me, I physically attacked her, my mother, my beloved mother. And next morning when I wake up and, you know, my memory came back, I found that this was the last thing in my life that I like to do. And I was just wandering on the streets of the city, not knowing without the hope what I should do. This was the last point in my life that I like to do. And then I found the courage to call her and ask her to allow me to speak once again to her. And we got the talk, which lasted 7 hours. And basically it was my monologue. It was the true repentance. And 7 hours I was speaking about the true state of myself, that I was fault of everything that happened in my life. And Richard, basically I cannot explain it, but after 7 hours I felt that there is a God, real God, living God, taking my burden in my heart, this heaviness away. And then by His providence I met the lady that I shared with her this experience. And she told me, and I still believe that she was sent by God Himself, because she told me, would you like to know what happened to you? And I said, of course, yes. And she took me to the outreach, where it was 400 people presented. But in that event, I felt like the preacher was just preaching to myself, that nobody was there. And he was sharing with me that God I knew in this burden event, when I repented, was Jesus Christ. He washed away my sins, as it is written in Romans 5, 19, by his obedience I was made righteous. Not I was disobedient for all my life, but his obedience was enough. And I was running to this preacher, I am this person, you are preaching to me, I am this person. And this happened in February 1998, and this is how I came to the knowledge of the Lord God.
Well, praise God, that is so, so touching, and it's to see that the Lord broke through, and he had you, you know, apologize to your mother, and then get to this outreach where you knew that God's word was to you personally.
Yes.
And I'd say again to the viewer that Ivan's testimony from a Catholic background and that of being drunk, and that is fairly common in Catholic countries where the Catholics drink a lot, whereby a person comes to conviction of their sin and of their unrighteousness, and not just that particular sin of, you know, of alcoholism, but of just sin nature and personal sin, and you look to Christ Jesus, and you know that he has had the perfect life, the obedience of Christ. His faithfulness is credited to the believer. The wonderful text in scripture where it says we are complete in him who's the head of all principality and power. His righteousness becomes our righteousness, and we rejoice in the everlasting life that we have by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, by his grace, and to know that we stand clothed in Christ Jesus' righteousness. So when we pray that God will be glorified in the gospel, that we know he hears our prayer because we are accepted in Christ and we stand clothed in his righteousness. We call this program Slovakia, the gospel and false ecumenism. But before we get to the false ecumenism, just to highlight that gospel message that Ivan has given and that Jean before gave in his testimony. The gospel message is that we are all sinners, as Jean said it, before the all-holy God. The nature of God is he is the all-holy one. As Isaiah proclaimed, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. His attribute to distinguish him from all creatures and all the things that he has made is his holiness. And we come before him as human beings with personal sin and sin nature. And it's not simply in Roman Catholic terms that we are wounded, that's the Catholic Church says we are wounded or somehow incapacitated. We are in the terms of Scripture, a verse that hit me personally in my own conversion, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, you being dead in trespass and sins. We're all spiritually dead. And you may say that's not good news. It is good news, because unless we see the bad news, unless we see that we are spiritually dead, we haven't understood the gospel. We do not come incapacitated or wounded, we come spiritually dead. In my own life in 1985, where I had been striving to be a good priest for 22 years and a Catholic for 48 years, I saw that all my striving and now all my reading of the Bible and everything didn't get me any closer, because it was all my own doing. And I literally got on the floor and I cried out to the Lord God in heaven. I said, show me that I am spiritually dead. And then I cried out to God in heaven. I said, not only show me that I'm dead, but give me the gift of faith to trust in Christ alone. And gloriously, that faith was given, and I began to say, yes, Father in heaven, I trust Christ and Christ alone. And I trust that I am accepted in him, that I am cleansed of all my sins by his precious blood, and that I stand clothed in his righteousness. And that was the Lord saving me. I looked to him, I recognized that I could do nothing. I looked to him for the gift of faith and his grace, and he graciously gave it. And from then on, life is so different, like these two brothers have explained in their own lives. And that is the essential gospel message, to realize that we are spiritually dead. We look to God for faith and His grace, and to be cleansed of our sins and accepted in the Beloved, in Christ Jesus. It's all summarized there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, this is the wonderful gospel, and we have in Slovakia a group of churches coming together, not on this foundation that the Apostle Paul spoke about, one foundation being Christ Jesus the Lord, but built on a different foundation, built on a foundation whereby the churches are working together with the Roman Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church will quote different parts of its official dogma from Vatican Council II. I was actually in Rome as a priest when Vatican II was taking place, and some of those ecumenical documents were actually being written when I was in Rome. And they are really, really frightening documents, not just to see what the Catholic Church says, but to see other churches now join with the Catholic Church in this basis. Quoting from one of these Vatican II documents, I'd like to give the exact words, for it says, "It is only through Christ's Catholic Church, which is the all-embracing means of salvation, that they, that is, believers, can benefit fully from the means of salvation. We believe that our Lord entrusted all the blessings of the new covenant to the Apostolic College alone, of which Peter is head, in order to establish one body of Christ on earth, to which all should be fully incorporated who belong in any way to the people of God. So all should be incorporated into the one body which has Peter as head," and they say the Pope takes the place of Peter. So it's a system. It's not based on the person of Christ Jesus as the foundation. It's based on a system called the Catholic Church. And it's declared that this is where people are to come to. Another document talk about little by little all believers would come to the one church, into the bosom of the one church. It's another document, the same idea. Now, if this had not been successful, it would not grieve us, but it's been highly successful. And I would like Jean to explain just some of the workings of the Catholic Church together with other churches in Slovakia, where the gospel is denied and the foundation is not Christ Jesus and salvation, but an entirely different message.
Yeah, that's really the sad story to uncover and a situation to describe. But let me first make a couple of remarks about the situation in Slovakia as far as the numbers and some statistics go, and then delve into the theme as you had introduced it. Presently, Roman Catholicism is really a vast majority in Slovakia. You can't walk the streets and not notice some form and something related to the Roman Church. According to the latest census, we have some 68.90% of Roman Catholics in our country. Then there are some Lutherans with less than 10%, and then we have minor, smaller evangelical churches. Now, presently, at this time, ecumenism is really widespread in all forms and all parts of the society. Let me mention two of the very interesting and important developments. We have, since in 2002, in Europe, there was a document formed and produced called European Ecumenical Chart, also known as Carta Ecumenica, and it was for Slovakia, it was signed by all major denominations, including Roman Catholic Church in Slovakia. So later I will quote in a moment from the document and mention some of the important point, but that means that all major denominations, including those that would, from the historical point of view, be considered to be evangelical, Bible-based denominations, like the Baptist Union. We have, then there is the Methodist Church in Slovakia, then there is the Church of Brethren, then we have a Reformed Church of Slovakia, we have a Lutheran Church that I used to be a member of, and back in the times of my conversion. So all of those churches took part in the Charta Ecumenica and signed it. I have some quotations here from the Charta Ecumenica, and let me quote and mention what kind of message it conveys and what really it establishes. So, a paragraph from Charta. Europe, from the Atlantic to the Urals, from the North Cape to the Mediterranean, is today more pluralist in culture than ever before. With the Gospel, we want to stand up for the dignity of the human person created in God's image, and, as churches together, contribute towards reconciling peoples and cultures. So, tellingly, as churches together, they express we want to contribute towards reconciling peoples and churches, but there is no foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in the document. We have no foundation that Apostle Paul is telling us is the only foundation for the true unity, for the true faith. And later there are two more quotations that I would like to add. It continues, in the power of the Holy Spirit to work towards the visible unity of the Church of Jesus Christ in the one faith, expressed in the mutual recognition of baptism and in Eucharistic fellowship, as well as in common witness and service. Now this really turns my heart to read those sentences. For me, as a believer who does know the emptiness of the rituals and the deadness of the old life and absolute powerlessness of any religious effort on the side of man to somehow please the God in any way, imagine to read that those who would historically should stand for Bible-based faith would now simply resort to speaking about recognition of baptism and Eucharistic fellowship. Again, this is such a sad example that basic foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ is missing. Now, this is something that touches on all of the Europe. Slovakia belongs to the Europe, so Charta Ecumenica really is something that relates to the Europe as a whole. But we also have an ecumenical council of churches in Slovak Republic that is peculiar to our nation, to our republic. Now, almost every registered church is a member, including the evangelical churches. Roman Church itself is not a proper member. They are classified as observers, yet they are very active, even on the field of the Ecumenical Council of Churches, and it was exactly just the Vatican Council, the Second Vatican Council that you were quoting, that started the movement and even gave the basis in Slovakia to start the movement and really open the gates so that the Catholics were willing to talk with the evangelicals and start to find some ways to express some kind of unity and some kind of cooperation. So presently the landscape in Slovakia is fully ecumenical. Everywhere you move, the ecumenism is the move of the day, on the TV, on the radio, in the newspapers. It's something that became completely embedded into the society, wherever we move.
It is the stranglehold, in a certain sense, that the that is held over the people. It's like to blind their eyes to who God is, who Jesus Christ is. But we know that the power of God can break through this, but we have to understand it. So, and to look to God, and that's what we are talking about this, not in some vacuum, but with hearts praying that God would shine His light and that there would be true revival. I remember so much the verse from Romans 5. You had quoted Romans in your testimony, but Romans 5, where it says, where sin has abounded, grace has much more abounded. through Jesus Christ, and pray that through Jesus Christ and the true gospel, where this darkness that has permeated the whole atmosphere of Slovakia, that there will be a breakthrough, and that we would see a turning to the true gospel, like in of times of old that you spoke about in the early history, Ivan, of the nation of Slovakia. Can you add something yourself about this false ecumenism, Ivan, or you have?
Yeah, you know, Richard, probably you know from yourself, when you became a Christian and you start to read the Bible, some things are very obvious to you from the beginning, some are coming later via Holy Spirit. But what I found on the beginning, and what is sometimes very common experience, that man or woman who is born again is receiving the teaching mostly of the denomination that he is born into. In my case, it was the Pentecostal Church. Yeah, so I was visiting the Apostolic Pentecostal Church in Slovakia for first 2 years after my conversion, and I was quite a zeal person in that time, but not wise so much as a zeal. So I found Jesus Christ, and I would like to convert of my family in the same way as I was. So I remember that I came to the home, and we got the idols in the home. My sister got the idols of the Mary and all the saints. So what I did, I took them and threw to the rubbish bin. And what I found later, except that it caused the anger in the family, what I found later on, when by the grace I was growing in him, that it is not enough to remove the idols. You need to, as you said, power of God, which is the gospel, the people need to have the inside change instead of outward change of putting the idols. So I found that until they will give up their idols within their hearts by the God's power, the removing idols outward will not help. So I was struggling this, and they clearly saw in that time that my beliefs and their beliefs are different. What happened later was that all this ecumenical movement after 2002 started growing, and we have a lot of TV programs and TV. Paul II was visiting the Slovakia, encouraging even the evangelicals to cooperate. Evangelical Christians were visiting even Pope in Vatican and bowed before him, and then I started to struggle. Because my family suddenly started to tell me, and even my friends and colleagues in that time, Ivan, it is not necessary that we need to accept your beliefs, because our beliefs, you look what the evangelical Lutherans, Catholics are saying, that we all are same. So basically what this caused, in my personal experience, it did big harm of sharing true biblical faith in them, because they were persuaded what they are listening from the different source is better than the Bible itself. So this is my personal experience with this.
Yeah, well, that is very, very revealing. I see here, Jean, that you have a book, Ecumenica, or something that's written on the cover,
yes.
And it's a photograph of a Roman Catholic chalice, which is the on the cover, which is the heart of Romanism, the sacrifice of Christ in the Mass, or the claimed sacrifice of Christ. And so can you explain what this book outlines, and just what are some of the details in this book, please?
Before we moved to Bratislava, where we presently live with my wife and family, I was living on the east of the country in Prešov town we visited, and near to us is a town Košice, second largest town in Slovakia. And this is the book, a fairly recent one, published in 2001. It's published by the local ecumenical fellowship of churches that exist on the territory of the town of Košice. And it's really a kind of organization in which all of the churches from Košice cooperate and often meet, and often people from municipal offices come to the meeting, so there is also involvement of the local city government. And this is the book that simply reports and documents some 5 years of ecumenical activities just on the location of one town on the east of Slovakia. It is called in Slovak, the Slovak word can be translated as ecumenism, and When we look inside, it just there are presentations about every church. So as I would be just coming through the book, there is at first a big picture, a huge one, with some 10 ministers, pastors, priests, and officers from some 10 churches standing on the podium, on the platform, and expressing that we are united, we are all of the Christian church, we are all of the one faith, we are all standing here and for one cause. And so this gives the theme for the book. Then there are presentations from the Lutheran and Catholic bishops, and then there we have the pastor of a charismatic church speaking, giving a column, and all of the local churches are introduced. Now in practice, for example, in this town, every year the many people, hundreds of believers, of members, go at the Easter time on the Good Friday. They walk through the town, through the streets. Here is the picture at the back cover of the book. And they have a shared worship, a shared common service, when they are expressing in many statements the unity of faith and the shared beliefs. And so that's one of the many activities. Then they often have the shared services with choirs and many speakers, when they are having some Bible readings and some talks. So that's other typical activity. Then many times the pastors and priests are meeting and are discussing the situation in society. And all the time the theme is ecumenism, the striving for the unity, and expressing and moving on, advancing the unity. But as you have mentioned, just in the introduction, this is very telling, and it's something that I would again point to, that how interested that on the front cover it is the chalice with the Roman priest allegedly making the transubstantiation, and that this is something that is published on the cover of the book that is related to the ecumenical movement in Košice. And this is really not something that would be related only to one town. Everybody would move in Slovakia. This is very typical of the situation in towns and what's going on.
Yes, that is really heartbreaking, that the so-called unity is based on a coming together because they want to feel that they are one in faith, but there's no biblical base. It's all man-made. And when it does give a message, like on the cover of this book, it is a Roman Catholic type of worship that is given with the chalice. And it is an embodiment of embracing Roman Catholicism as like the outward cover to their false ecumenism. And this is heartbreaking. We just have about 10 minutes left, and I'd like if you, Jean, could explain to our viewer the power of God in the true gospel. St. Paul says in chapter 1 of the letter to the Romans, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation." And this is the power of God that is to break through false ecumenism, because we come to understand who Christ is and the power of the gospel. So can you explain the power of God in salvation, Jean, in your own words?
Oh yes, it's the true gospel is the power of God for salvation, because in comparison to every man-made religion, including the Roman Catholicism and all kinds of other false worships that we could find all over the world, it is only in the gospel of Christ that we can be made, we can be declared righteous in the sight of the Holy God. That is why in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, that was one of the first verses that I learned through my conversion, and in the years to come I started to love the letter to the Romans. Paul is saying that to the one who does not work but believes on the one who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. And that brings us to the heart of the gospel. It's telling us that our efforts and our efforts as sinful people to somehow please God are in vain, because God is infinitely holy. But there is a way provided from God, provided by His love and grace, in which He has sent His only one and begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to become a perfect substitute, to live a life of perfect obedience, so that we, the ungodly people, like I was, I could see when I was 18 that I am standing before God's judgment as an ungodly man, and I could see that I need the righteousness to cover myself, to come through that righteousness to God and have a fellowship with Him. And I was so happy to see that the righteousness is fully provided in the work of Christ, in His atoning work on the cross of Calvary, and in His perfect obedience. And so gospel is powerful to reconcile the sinners, the true gospel, with the God. It's powerful to change the lives, because I was so weak to live in a right way before I found the Lord. But then, with the gospel, I could really embrace the power of the Holy Spirit for living, for a new, transformed and sanctified life. And I could see the same, if I may add, as Ivan was sharing about his experience with his parents, who were misled by what they could see on the TV. I am happy to say and to share that my father, back in those times of my conversion, still steeped in the Roman Catholicism, was later saved some 3 years ago. My brother was saved 1 year after me. And both I and my brother and some other people were used by God, I believe, in touching the life of my father, so that he could see that really the true gospel is the power for reconciliation with God, for a transformed life, and for a life of following after Christ. And as this testimony was coming to him, he was brought to God, and more drawn to for himself to seek, until he was able to be reconciled through Christ alone, by faith alone, on the basis of what is revealed in the Scripture alone. And I am so sad to see when I was challenged soon after my conversion, when those whom I trusted as my friends and who were teaching me often from the Bible, but when I was so challenged, when I was seeing them to go for the ecumenical meetings and just open the issues about some unity, some kind of unity with Roman Church, and that challenged me myself personally to study the Bible harder and to study the history and to really go to the roots of the issue and see the essence of Romanism as it truly is before God, and as I could really compare what the Bible is saying and what the Roman Church is teaching. And I could see that in the Bible there is the gospel that is powerful salvation. It provides righteousness that I need as an ungodly man. It's a provision from the Lord that I am embracing by faith alone. And I could see that nothing of that is there in the Roman religion. Just empty effort, the empty efforts on the side of man, who can never be by their own efforts and works reconciled with God.
Well, that is wonderful, and it is a joy to my ears to hear you, Jean, and to hear you talking about the alone, faith alone, grace alone, in Christ alone. And that is actually the foundation of our faith. It is a solid foundation, and it is firm, and it will not be moved. It's unlike the false ecumenism, which is based on feelings and man striving to be one with other churches, which has sinking sand. This is a solid foundation. And just to summarize what the believers had in the early days, even way before the Reformation began, going back to Jan Hus and the Bohemians then in what is now Eastern Slovakia, and when the miners came in from Germany and people were really living the true faith, what did they have? What do we now have that is the power of God unto salvation? We have what are called the five biblical principles. Salvation is based on the Scripture alone, God's written word alone. And to be right before the All-Holy God is by grace alone, through faith alone. It is in Christ Jesus alone, in His person alone. And it is to God alone is the glory, not praise and worship and honor to Mary or any saints or statues or any paraphernalia. It's to God alone. So this is the wonderful foundation on which we are built. We have a few minutes left. Ivan, can you summarize how you see the gospel and how what your message is to precious Slovakian people?
Yeah, my fellow Slovak biblical brothers and sisters, I am speaking right now to the evangelicals in Slovakia that as myself once was found by Jesus Christ Himself. You know, as I know, that we as a human are facing deadly disease. This deadly disease is a sin. This sin will kill us, and we got the grace from the God Himself that once in time He revealed us cure, which was Christ's crucifixion and resurrection for us. So I would like to appeal to you. Why, as a person that is known, he knows the cure which is in Jesus' blood, why are you not telling about this Jesus' blood cure to people that are suffering, and you are pretending that the cures that they are using are good as this one? How we, that we know that Jesus Christ alone are cleansing us from the sin, can pretend that other means of salvation, salvation via sacraments, and this is pure Catholic teaching, you can find it in the Catechism, you can find it in the canon law, that they believe that salvation via sacraments is that cure. How we can be silent? How we can join them and say, of course, we are all deadly sick, but our cure and your cure is equal. And I would like to offer you help. I would like to serve you. I spoke the truth, and Jan spoke the truth with love. Please visit our website, which you can see on the screen. Call us, talk to us. We are here for you, but please try to think once again, what was the cure that you have been healed when you became the Christian? So this is what I'd like to share with you.
Yes, and Jan, I thank the Lord that this message is going out for Slovakia. And would you mention again, you know, maybe on my own webpage and the Slovakian sections of the webpage, your webpage, and could you say a word in Slovakian itself, just at the end here, because in Slovakian, just where people can contact you and where your church is, and just a little word in Slovakian as we give a little flavor to the end of this message.
A Richard už spomenul, že v roku 2000 navštívil Slovensko, slúžil vtedy v Prešove a ostal záznam viacerých MP3 súborov, ktoré sú voľne k stiahnutiu z jeho asi 5 alebo 6 prednášok na web stránke nášho zboru, spoločenstva, a tie nájdete na adrese nkz.reformace.cz, opakujem to ešte raz, napíšete o prehliadači nkz.reformace.cz a priamo teda naša stránka je po slovensky. Potom takisto Richard Bennett má stránku v Spojených štátoch spojenú so svojou službou, ktorá sa volá Berean Beacon, a tu nájdete ľahko na www.bereanbeacon.org a tam je slovenská sekcia, ktorú Richard pripravoval spolu s Ivanom. Sú tam preložené viaceré články, ktoré sa dajú voľne stiahnuť, vytlačiť, prečítať. A takisto Ivan, ktorý je tu dnes tiež s nami, brat zo Slovenska, v jeho spoločenstve majú tiež web stránku, ktorú nájdete na www.ksmilost.sk, www.ksmilost.sk. Takže tri web stránky, ktoré dávame do vašej pozornosti, a takisto, keď budete sledovať to video, nájdete ich aj v titulkoch, ktoré budú bežať v závere tohto rozhovoru.
Praise God, and that is a great summary of what we wanted to say today, because we were talking about Slovakia and the gospel of Christ and false ecumenism, and it is the gospel of Christ that has been emphasized, and we do pray that you will keep in contact with us and that you will have the same power of God in your own life to get the message out, and that many souls will be saved to the praise of the glory of His grace. Amen and amen. Praise God.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail-order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's EDMONTON, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, "which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart," from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, "God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, 'I have not commanded them,' whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle was adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying His word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew."